Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. On this Tuesday night, we're broadcasting statewide in a very hot, muggy Wisconsin. This to me is what I think about when I think about summer in Wisconsin. It's muggy, but you still want to be outside. It still feels great. The warmth. Conrad just got up to close the curtains.
The light was in my eye.
Oh, really? I thought you were worried you were going to get flashed again. Wait, no, that was me.
I left shortly before that.
You missed the show that night. Oh, darn the luck. It is great to have you with me on this Tuesday night. Got a really fun show tonight. We have a last-minute guest we just added in a few minutes named Chandler Wild, who is going to promote his film called The Dancing Monkey. You can see it in Sheboygan tomorrow night and in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday night. It just premiered last night in Chicago, and it's based on a Eugene O'Neill play. So we'll talk to Chandler. It's a very quick interview at 7:20. You can check it out and see if that's something you might be interested if you're in one of those areas and if it's your cup of tea. It sounds like a pretty cool film, and our friend Kurt Krause set that up. Then at 7:35, this is exciting. So when I started at Civic Media, I was doing news, and I didn't know much about news, but I wanted to get in with Civic Media, and they taught me how to do it because, you know, Civic Media has just, like, been a phoenix, man. The whole company is just moving so fast. And that's probably the only reason a guy like me was allowed to do news. But it worked out okay. And now, obviously, I have this show since December, and it's been a lot of fun. Lisa Hale, an actual journalist, has come in, and she's a phenomenal news person, and she took over all of Northeast Wisconsin. And Conrad, I have to be honest, I'm surprised it took us this long to get her on the show.
Yeah.
But we'll meet Lisa at 7:35. I've exchanged pleasantries with her on the interwebs. She is, she just does a great job doing news. She's got a great voice, great researcher, very articulate, and very straightforward style. Just love it. So we'll talk to Lisa, and we'll find out what she does when she's not reporting news. I'm going to ask her what, like, some of the most strange stories she's covered are, and we'll ask her what she's watching, if she has a news movie. I like to watch news people. Or ask news people that question. We asked Terry Bell that last week when I was in Madison, and he said broadcast news. I got confused. News Radio was the TV show with Phil Hartman that was very funny. Phil Hartman, Dave Foley, Joe Rogan, and Stephen Root, who is in everything. Stephen Root played Milton on The Office. He was the guy with the stapler, and the guy is just like a chameleon. He can play any role. If you look at his IMDb page, it is insane the amount of credits this guy has. Anyway, he was the news radio. I got totally off track there. News radio. But hey, that's the news. You know, if Lisa said news radio, that would be totally acceptable. And then my buddy Mike Schmidt joins me at 8:05. So recently, Quentin Tarantino, there's been a lot of talk in the news. He said he's only going to direct 10 films. He's directed 9, and he is, you know, in talks to find a distributor, to find someone to get behind his 10th feature film that he will direct. He also wrote True Romance, but he did not direct that, so that does not count. But I thought, you know, my friend Mike Schmidt, as funny as he is, and he hosts this wildly popular podcast called The 40-Year-Old Boy. And Schmitty can tell a story forever. I've had him on, and I'm like, man, I need 2 hours with Mike because he just gets going, and he has these great stories. Do you remember that story Conrad told about sneaking into his friend's house to play hooky from school, yeah, and then the friend's mom came home? He had to hide from the mom. So Mike will be here at 8:05 tonight, and we're going to talk about Quentin Tarantino and Mike's favorite Quentin Tarantino films. He's seen them all. He loves Tarantino. And I thought this is a perfect time to have Mike on the show. And also, I want to say this. Mike and I, there was a time when we would talk sports, and I think it's pretty much standard that Michael Jordan is the greatest NBA player ever. And I think Mike would acknowledge that, but he loves Larry Bird. And I said something one night about Larry Bird. Like I said, well, he's not a great defender or something. And I thought Mike, who is about 300 pounds and 6'2", was going to get me in a headlock and not let go. Like, he's very sensitive about his sports heroes. So we'll discuss that too. I might ask him for his top five. Conrad, if you want to get in on that, make your top five NBA players. We can have that discussion as well.
I already have it.
You do?
Yeah. Oh,
nice. I like the readiness, my friend. So as I mentioned last night, Inside Out 2 shattered records at the box office this past weekend. And you could argue that Bad Boys, Ride or Die, and Inside Out 2 kind of saved the summer box office because it's been slumping. So it got me thinking, I'm ashamed I have not seen Inside Out or Inside Out 2. So I'm going to watch them by this weekend. But tonight's question is, in honor of such a movie that crushed at this box office this past weekend, what is your favorite animated film of all time? That is tonight's question. What is your favorite animated film of all time? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. There was an animated film, too, that was geared towards adults, like in the late 70s. I think it was called Night Moves. No, it was called American Pop, and the song Night Moves by Bob Seger was in it. And it looked really cool. I never saw it. It was rated R, and I was too young. But I always meant to check that film out, and now I don't know if it's even available anymore, but I am going to... I'm glad that popped into my mind. I'm going to check that out, American Pop. So what is your favorite animated film? I would have to say mine is probably Toy Story. I've talked about Toy Story on this show several times, and part of it is because I watched it with my kids when they were growing up. I love Toy Story, and I love Toy Story 2. I would say those are tied for first. I might give the nod to the original Toy Story just because it was the first time we met those characters, and Buzz Lightyear was so funny. Tim Allen voiced Buzz and Tom Hanks voiced Woody. They were great together. Maybe one of the funniest duos in movie history. Certainly the most likable. Absolutely love that film. So that, I'm just going to say Toy Story right out of the gate. Conrad, what about you, buddy?
I love How to Train Your Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
And I know you kind of want to say Cars. Right? I
mean, you know me too well, yeah, already, Pete. Yeah, it's, I know. I think Cars would definitely be my number one.
Nice.
Okay. And then close to Cars is How to Train Your Dragon.
Those are great choices. I remember, I have a great memory of trying to get the How to Train Your Dragon. My son Joe and I were running. We lived right by the Universal lot when we lived in LA, and we were literally sprinting. It's this huge parking lot. We're running through the parking lot. And we barely made it. And I was not expecting to like that movie, but it really caught me. And it was just great, great film. How many are there? Two?
There's three. And then there's like a short little 30-minute short on Disney Plus. But they are making a live action one. So
that's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that'll be fun to watch for. Stacey Sue Johnson checking in. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Stacey Sue. Great to see you tonight. Sherry from Horicon says, good evening, Pete and Conrad, with very sweet heart emojis. Love it. Hope you're having a great night, Sherry. Stacey Sue says, that's a tough question, Pete. I know it is, Stacey Sue, but I know you're going to answer it. So I know you're not that intimidated. Sherry says, Mary Poppins is her favorite animated film. Great choice. Great choice. Stacey Sue says, The Polar Express. Love Cars and Toy Story. Yeah, that's tough to go wrong with those. The Polar Express, I really liked. I will say there are times when, as an adult, I was like, are the kids going to be scared of this? There's like a few scenes.
I remember being creeped out a little bit.
Were you?
Yeah.
The train scene, maybe?
I
when they were singing Hot Chocolate?
It was when he met Santa. I don't know why I was creeped out by that Santa, but I was.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I love the look of the film. I love the kind of the aesthetic, as my son Joe calls it, when they're on the train, the way it's lit and the snow coming down and that the grays and the blues that they used with the tones. But yeah, those are great choices too. And B-movie, yes. Loved B-movie as well, yeah. Stacey says. That was, I was not, I was blown away that movie put Seinfeld in another stratosphere to me, because I was like, all right, this is his little pet project. He has a hit TV show. Let's go see the B movie and take the kids. And I loved it. And I was like, man, this guy can do no wrong. And then I saw Unfrosted. So what is this you sent me about Bad Boys? Oh God.
I knew you'd not like the title of that.
Hey, what do I know? I'm just a fan, okay? I know nothing, folks. I don't pontificate. I hope anyway. I am opinionated. But, you know, you never know what is going to resonate with people. And Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, crushed at the box office. And I'm glad. I'm glad it helped the summer box office. That's great. But I can't imagine it's a great film. And I have friends that say it's not good, but the critics liked it. But I think jaded people don't like it. But kids probably like it, or teens. So I'm going to see that one too. But Bad Boys 5, this one's Ride or Die. What's that one?
It doesn't have a title. It just says it's being discussed.
Sail or Faint. I'm sure they'll figure something out. And it'll be another home run. Hey, that's great. I never root against a movie, but that Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, I cannot get that out of my head. It was just too, I just can't root for the guy. I don't want anything bad to happen to him. I just feel like he doesn't need any more success than he's had. Tom in New Berlin says, what a great show. Phil Hartman loved all the cast. You're right, Tom. That was a very funny show. And Phil Hartman played that diva radio announcer guy. Someone would say, I forget what his name was. I think it was actually Phil on the show. And they'd say, hey, Phil. And he wouldn't even look at him. And he'd just go, thanks for listening. Just like this really pompous guy. He was a treasure, man. I still miss Phil Hartman. From the 608, Carla says, Shrek, all four of them. Not fair, Carly. You got to pick one. I'll pick for you. I'm going to say the first one. First one had a charm.
Shrek 1 is great.
Is it the best, do you think?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I've only seen two, actually, I think. Jim says, Heavy Metal, great adult animated movie. Nice. Yeah, there's some I know I'm going to miss. I totally forgot about that film. Anna from the 608 says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite animated movie is Polar Express. Two votes for Polar Express. We'll take it. Nice work, Anna and Stacy Sue. All right, we'll read more texts very shortly here. Coming up next, the director of the new film, The Dancing Monkey, Chandler Wilde, will be here for a brief stay, and he'll tell us where we can see his new film. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network. To see people walking outside. I mean, it's a gorgeous, it is hot. It's very warm. I don't mind it, but it's just so nice to see people walking and out. Because from when we launched this show in December, it was like a ghost town out here. Remember that, Conrad?
Yeah.
People walking by all ticked off because they're freezing. Now everybody's happy and outside and crazy. All right. So Lisa Hale is coming up at 7:35. The hilariously funny Mike Schmidt will be here at 8:05. We'll read more of your text. Tonight's question is, what is your favorite animated movie of all time? We're asking this kind of as an homage to Inside Out 2, which is sort of in the process of saving the summer box office. So what is your favorite animated film of all time? 855-752-4842, 855-756. Great texts so far. We'll read more of them shortly. Right now, I would like to welcome to Nightlight a guest. He's a director. His name is Chandler Wilde, and his new film is called The Dancing Monkey. And you can catch it in Sheboygan today and tomorrow, and in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday. They just had their premiere last night in Chicago, and the director is here with us now on Nightlight. Chandler, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Enjoying a beautiful Midwestern summer evening.
It's beautiful, isn't it? Just a great night. This is great. So where are you from?
So we're from New York City.
Okay.
And my producing partner and business partner, Scott De La Cruz, is a proud son of Wisconsin Rapids. And a couple of years ago, we were making an independent film called The Dancing Monkey. And we decided to come shoot it in his hometown and the surrounding area. And we wanted to bring the film back and show it to audiences kind of across the region as a thank you for all of the support that they gave us in making the film.
How have those screenings gone so far? Are people happy to, are they excited to see it?
Yeah, Chicago was great. We had an amazing talk back. We cast the film out of Chicago. A lot of our crew came out of Chicago. So it was the first time that they got to see the film, seeing it on a big screen was really amazing. And we're really excited for tomorrow night. The event is being put on by the Production Farm, which is run by a very dear friend of ours. And that they supported us a lot in making the film, connecting us with locations and stuff. So this whole screening is just a fundraiser for them. And they're a nonprofit helping with behavioral health.
Very nice. So tell us a little bit about The Dancing Monkey. I know it's derived from a Eugene O'Neill play, but can you tell us about the story a little bit, Chandler?
Yeah, sure. So it's an adapted from a Eugene O'Neill play called The Hairy Ape. And it's a story about Wayne. Wayne works at a cardboard box factory, and he is the deciding vote in a union drive to decide whether or not the union becomes, the factory becomes unionized. And so the film is kind of about his existential struggle to understand his place as a working person in America and, you know, wrestle with the decision that he has to make.
That's great. I love that. I mean, you can never go wrong telling a story about the working man's struggle. Were you unable to use, since it's an adaptation, could you not use the title, The Hairy Ape, or did you not want to?
Oh, we didn't want to. You know, the play is in public domain, which is one of the reasons why we chose to do it, because it's over 100 years old. We also changed it ever so slightly. The title of the film is kind of reflective of how the hairy ape is used in the play. So it makes sense when you see the film for the name change.
That's so great. All right. So where can people see it? It's tomorrow night. It's tomorrow at the Weill Center for the Performing Arts in Sheboygan. Beautiful old theater.
Oh, my gosh. Such a beautiful theater. We're so excited to play there.
Yeah.
Right in downtown Sheboygan. Starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow. And then we'll also be in Wisconsin Rapids on Thursday night.
Okay. And are there tickets available? And if so, do they buy them right at the theater?
Right at the theater, right at the box office of the theater. And it's an incredible space. As filmmakers, we're always excited to show our film in any, you know, public space with a crowd, but it's even that much better when it's in a beautiful theater like that.
Absolutely. So as someone who has shot in a small town myself, I was blown away by the local support you get and how people just want to be part of things. Was that your experience? Were you able to cast a lot of extras or minor roles from Wisconsin Rapids or just in Wisconsin in general?
Absolutely. You know, coming from New York, and I've shot in LA before, you basically can't turn a corner without spending a lot of money to shoot somewhere. Yeah. And Wisconsin hospitality really outdid itself. We were incredibly embraced. People were kind of it was almost embarrassing how much help we were being given. And it's definitely something that, you're not going to find, as you know, you're not going to find unless you're shooting in a small town, in the great state of Wisconsin.
It's so great. And we're trying to bring the incentives here. We'll see if that, pans out or not,
fingers crossed.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. So The Dancing Monkey, you're the writer, director, producer. Is this your first feature film directing a feature film?
Yeah, this is my first narrative feature, my first scripted feature. We've done feature-length docs before, but this is our first scripted feature. It was definitely a passion project, a project of love, and something that, as you know, you're a filmmaker. You just kind of once you get the ball rolling and once you're ready to start making it happen, things just start falling into place, and everything came together.
That's so great. I wish you so much luck with this, Chandler. I love independent film, and I love that you shot it here and used Wisconsin actors and Wisconsin locations. And even though you're a New York guy, on behalf of this state, welcome and thank you for shooting here. And I just hope you crush tomorrow night and in Wisconsin Rapids as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, continued success. And thanks for being with us here on Nightlight tonight.
Appreciate it. Have a great night.
All right, you too, buddy. That's Chandler Wilde. The film is The Dancing Monkey. You can check it out tomorrow night if you're in the Sheboygan area. It's at the Wilde Center for the Performing Arts at 826 North 8th. You can purchase tickets over the phone at 920-208-3243. That's 920-208-3243, or in person right at the theater. And I think tickets are only like $12 or something like that. And the great thing about these screenings, I should have asked him if there was a Q&A, but are the Q&As afterwards. It's like a film festival setting. And he said they did one last night in Chicago. It's so much fun when you're there and the director and the producer are there and they answer questions that the audience might have. So if you get a chance, check out The Dancing Monkey, and you cannot beat the source material. It's an adaptation of a Eugene O'Neill play called The Hairy Ape. So check it out. And thank you to Chandler Wilde and my buddy Kurt Krause, who set that up. Kurt did, I think he said, art direction for the film, and Kurt is a local actor as well, who's been on Nightlight. So good stuff. Always fun to help promote an independent film. Let's get back to some of the texts here before we move on and bring on Lisa Hale. Chris Casper texts in from the 608 and says, Robin Hood. That's a great one. I forgot about Robin Hood. Thank you, as always, Chris. I love when Chris is a part of the show. From the 920, The Nightmare Before Christmas, some Tim Burton fans. Carla from the 608 also adds Beauty and the Beast. Okay. And she says Shrek 2 and Tangled. Tangled is a great movie. Forgot about Tangled. Are we doing okay? Oh, we got to keep going. Okay, Lisa Hale is coming up next. We got some fantastic news coverage coming up in honor of Lisa Hale's appearance at 7:35. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself wanting her.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who appreciates a nice hot meal at a fair price, Pete Schwabba.
Tom in New Berlin says, ants. The thing is, it's our political situation. We are stronger together than apart. How can reprograms? I think he's saying ants. So ants was a good film. That was a, you know, good animated film from about maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Kind of forgot about ants. And Paula, Conrad's mom, checking in. Hello, Mrs. Krieger. She says, my favorite is also Shrek. I notice a pattern in the Krieger family. You guys.
I'm the odd one out, I guess.
Yeah, but whether it's like snacks or whatever, well, you guys tend to like the same things. And I guess that's not a surprise in a family. It's the same way in my family. Sherry says, Avatar. That's a great animated film. That's the question tonight, folks. And we're asking it because Inside Out 2 saved the summer box office. So we're asking what your favorite animated film is. So please let us know. You can text us. You can do it old school on the text line. You can text on the app. It's so easy to use if you haven't downloaded it yet. I highly recommend it. And, you know, how can people watch on the stream, Conrad?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba or WGBW. And we're also on YouTube under Civic Media and under WGBW and X with WGBW.
So. Yeah, so if you're there, and feel free to give us a like if you can, or a follow, or whatever they, what do the kids say these days?
Well, give it a like.
Give it a like.
Okay, give it a like. You can give it a follow as well.
Follow is great. Likes are great. That's all great, no matter what the vernacular you use. Okay, so I'm excited to welcome my next guest. As I mentioned before the break, she covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media, does a bang-up job, and she's a very nice person, too, from what I've known. Let's get to know her a little more, though, and welcome Lisa Hale to Nightlight. Lisa, hi.
Hi, how are y'all doing?
Doing very well. You said y'all. Are you a Wisconsin girl, or are you a transplant?
Well, it's kind of hard to really say what I am, because I was born in Michigan, and so I spent the first first trimester of my life, so to speak, in Michigan. And then when I was 12, we moved down to Louisiana. And then when I became an adult, I have gone back and forth between Wisconsin and Louisiana so many times that I consider myself a Midwestern Northern, Midwestern Southerner. So,
all right, that works. That's a nice mix, right? I mean, hopefully you're in Louisiana in the winter months primarily, but
no, unfortunately. Oh. I'm here in Wisconsin now, loving it. Would much rather be in Wisconsin any day over Louisiana. I love Louisiana. Do not get me wrong. I mean, I miss the food, something fierce, and I miss the culture. But, you know, if today is any indication, you know, it got kind of warm and it's even worse in Louisiana. And no, I'm done with the heat. I can put more clothes on. I can't take more clothes off. So,
well, not on this show, you can't.
No,
this is a family show, Lisa. So how are you doing at Civic Media? Do you love being here and covering the area?
I certainly do. I really, really do. Of course, you know, every time I've lived in Wisconsin, it's been here in Northeast Wisconsin. I lived in Green Bay. I lived in Ripon. I lived in Fond du Lac. I've lived in Oshkosh now. And it's home to me. And I just love being here and covering the issues that make this area tick.
Oh, very well said. Do people tell you that they like your voice or that you have a voice for news?
No.
Really?
They really don't. It's because, you know, that radio voice, it only comes out. My stepson, bless his heart, he once said when I got really just reared up and was going at it, you know, and I was scolding him about something. And I guess my Southern accent was really strong while I was scolding. And he said, you know who you sound like? You sound like that woman on Designing Women that gets all riled up.
Oh,
he was talking about Juliet Sugarbaker.
was that like, Annie Potts? Who was that?
No, that was Dixie Carter.
Yes. That was a funny show. That was a great show.
Yeah.
You could be compared to worse, right?
Exactly. I mean, if it's going to be somebody, a strong-willed female with intelligence and smarts, I'm all about
that.
There
you go. Yeah, that's pretty
good. He can
compare
me to her any day.
So how is news different in certain areas? Like, I feel like news is news, but, you know, there are different regions of the country that have different ways of life, different lifestyles. Are you more prone to see certain news stories in Wisconsin than you would be in Michigan or Louisiana?
I wouldn't say that the news stories vary that much. I mean, the way governmental reporting is done is different because Louisiana is a completely different governmental society than every other state in the nation. Louisiana is under the Napoleonic Code, whereas every other state in the nation draws their code from English law.
Okay, so, wow, interesting.
Yeah, Louisiana's law is very, very different. We don't have counties. We have parishes.
Right.
You know, it's not a county board. It's a police jury. Jeez. Elections are not done in the same way that they're done here. You have an open primary for all elections. And then the top two vote getters for those elections, regardless of party, are the ones who are going to be competing against each other. So, you know. It's very interesting governmentally, the change between them.
Sounds like they think they're so big.
Oh, Louisiana wishes it was big as Texas. Let me just put it that way.
Probably.
It has Texas envy.
So you've been a reporter for years and years. What are some of the like most interesting or weird stories you've covered?
Well, you know, I've done everything in the reporting realm. I've done freelance magazine writing. I've done newspaper. I've done radio. I've done TV. But I have to say that probably I don't know that I would call it the weirdest, but the most unique story I ever went on was a plane crash, because It was a very visceral story. And just being out there with the search and rescue teams, it was beyond anything I could have ever imagined doing. And that was shortly after I got out of college the first time. I was a newbie, you know, a new reporter, really green under. And was doing that story. So that one's definitely stuck with me.
Were you freaked out? Like, because you didn't know what you'd see. I mean, there's times I've pulled over on the highway to see if I could help, if there was something. And you're kind of scared. Like, you don't know what you're going to see, right?
Do you know that I still have anxiety attacks every time I come up on anything that I think might be newsworthy that I'm going to need to cover? Because I have to immediately go into Lisa Hale reporter, not Lisa Hale person. But in that particular thing, I don't know if it was because I had convinced myself before we even went out there, this is probably going to be gnarly. You're going to be okay. Just, you know, do what you got to do. Take the pictures you got to take. Get the quotes. You can do this. And it was, some of it was disturbing. But for the most part, I was able to separate myself from it and just be an observer, which I think is something that a reporter always needs to be able to do, is to step back and not be a part of, but rather be an observer of the situation.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I think I'd have to fake an injury or something. Like I pull a hammy or do a head fake and get out of it, you know, and hey, where'd it go? It was just here a minute ago.
I've had some editors, though, that would say, unless you can prove that your head has actually come off your body, you're covering the story. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you have stories you like to cover more than others?
You know, I love a good human interest story. I love the stories that are telling the story of Joe Sixpack, who did something really awesome and is proud of it, but at the same time wishes he wasn't the center of attention. Those are the stories I love, because they are the real people and the real stories that need to be told.
Boy, that's a great answer. My guest is Lisa Hale. She covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media here. And so you cover basically Fond du Lac up to the UP from here to the lake.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess you could say, Todd, our station manager, would tell me Fondy might be a little bit too far south, but occasionally if something comes up in Fondy that I think, like the Mercury Marine layoffs, I'll pick that up, you know. But from about, let's say from Van Dyne, maybe North Fond du Lac, northward.
Okay. All the way up to the North Pole.
Well, that's what it seems like sometimes.
It's a good enough story.
Yeah,
right. So do you have, I had Terry Bell on the show last week. We did the show for Madison, and I love having Terry on. He's a movie buff and likes TV and all that kind of stuff. What do you have, a favorite movie about news?
About news.
Yeah, or TV show.
I would have to say probably Broadcast News.
Great movie.
Would be my favorite one about news. That just something about that one is always, of course, I'm a big Holly Hunter fan. And when they run that tape from way in the back where the newsroom is to the all the way up to the front to play it on the air live, and Joan Cusack is running like, you know, O.J. Simpson in an airport, you know, right. She's just going, jumping over things, and she's got this tape that I've seen that happen. That's what, I've seen just that type of thing happen. So
isn't it fun to watch a movie like that when, you know, nowadays you've got the right and the left, and it's propaganda, more or less, or a cheerleading squad. It's not necessarily, you know, sometimes there's truth told, but it's like what you guys do here at Civic Media is you're covering a story, blocking out, you know, partisanship, and you're just reporting facts. I love seeing that, because that's kind of old school. And that's what I love about movies like Broadcast News. They still have those discussions. This isn't newsworthy, or this is, or don't have him showing a tear in his eye to get ratings, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. That was a great scene.
A great scene.
Where was the second camera?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'll find that I will pick up on stuff like that and start quoting movies. I just, you know.
All right. So that's a great thing. Let's get to know you. Let listeners get to know you through the arts, through music and TV and film. We just talked about Broadcast News. What about, have you ever seen The Paper with Michael Keaton?
Paper.
That's an old movie from the 80s. Then there's Spotlight, another one about the priest scandal in Boston. Mm-hmm. That came out a few years ago. That was a good news movie. And
A Few Good Men was a good, oh, a few not good, A Few Good Men. What movie am I thinking of?
All the President's Men.
Thank you. All the President's Men. Great film.
I just watched that fantastic. In the last 6 months. I love that. And that's another one. I love seeing reporters stick to a story. And it's inspiring, you know, that they want to tell the story and get the truth out there. Have you ever seen season 5 of The Wire?
No, I wasn't a big Wire fan. Okay. What happened in The Wire?
Well, I believe that's the season where they talk. It's set kind of at the Baltimore Sun. And, you know, papers are kind of starting to not be as relevant. And it was just a great, you know, it's something you might enjoy, even though you're radio. You said you worked in all facets of news.
I've done all facets.
It was a good season. You mentioned you're a Kevin Smith fan.
Oh, yeah. oh, yeah. Most definitely. And that might seem, you know, strange coming from somebody who is a serious news person and whatever. But Kevin Smith, I've always said I would be happy to be his ex-wife ever.
You're not really aiming for the sky there. I mean,
I mean, of course, you know, he's madly in love with his wife, Jennifer Swabach. So, you know, I always say he could be the next ex Mr. Lisa Hale. I have no problem.
Well, you've certainly done your homework on this guy. I don't want to have to start a file on you, Lisa. But
honey, let me tell you, there was in Louisiana, there was another girl who also had a huge crush on Kevin Smith. She used to get into fights with me on Facebook over who was going to be the next one to marry him.
That's great.
So, just joking around stuff. I'm really not that crazy, honest.
I believe you. let's find out what Lisa's favorite Kevin Smith movie is when we come back. This is Nightlight with Beach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm waiting just for you. Someone's living for their love. Someone's living for their love. And I love her. And I love her.
I love her. Her name was Lola. She was a showgirl with yellow feathers in her hair and a dress cut down her hair. She would merengue and do the cha-cha.
You know, people always say stuff like, Barry Manilow. He's so lame. And then you hear a Barry Manilow tune and you can't not tap your foot. It's Barry Manilow's birthday this week. He turns 82, I think. I didn't write it down here, but... happy birthday to Barry Manilow. And that's a great song. Copacabana. I'm sorry. I'm not turning that off if I'm in the car. What do you think about Barry Manilow, Lisa?
Absolutely love him. I wouldn't call myself a fanilow, but I do love Barry Manilow. I can remember many, many CDs and cassette tapes being worn out of his when I was younger. So
when I was a kid, when I spent the first part of my childhood in Chicago, we lived in the city in a neighborhood right off the Kennedy Expressway. And you know, kids that age think they're so macho. Their nickname for Barry Manilow was Barely Man Enough. I probably laughed hysterically at that when I was 12.
Probably.
But he's great. I love Barry Manilow.
He is. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you have to tell us, my guest is Lisa Hale. She covers Northeast Wisconsin for Civic Media. She's a great reporter. You'll hear her work here at Civic Media if you listen on WGBW or WISS. What is your favorite Kevin Smith movie? Future ex-Miss Kevin Smith.
That is really hard. That's like a Sophie's Choice almost, because I have to divide them. There's not just one Kevin Smith
that
movie.
That is a little dramatic, Lisa.
I know, but here's the situation. You've got off everything in the View Askew world in that universe of his, which is, you know, Clerks, Mallrats, Chasing Amy, so you've got those. Then you've got his totally bizarre movies like Tusk and Red State,
Dogma and
things like that. Even though Dogma is in the View Askew universe, it's still outside the box. And then there's these total flops like Jersey Girl.
Was that Ben Affleck
or am I thinking
Jiggly? I don't know.
Ben Affleck was Jersey Girl.
I thought so. Okay.
But I think if I have to put my finger on it because it is so quotable and because I've watched it so many times, I have to go with Clerks, the original.
Me too. Up top. You know. Yeah, absolutely. I think I have not seen all of Kevin Smith's movies. I like Chasing Amy. I did not see Clerks 2, but I agree with you. Oh. Clerks is just, it's so raw. And so I love the black and white. It's just such a world you're looking in on. And you just, you don't know any of the actors. I just love that.
Yeah, it was so much of our time too. I mean, think about it. This was Gen X, a film for Gen X, you know, by right. Gen X, of Gen X. And it was so us. And I had to introduce my nephew to it. Now he's as big of a Kevin Smith fan as I am.
That's great.
And of course, I've seen Clerks 2 and Clerks 3, which is very meta in itself. So it's really just one of those films that, because the dialogue is so good, because it is conversations that you would have with your best friend
right.
who you work with and are bored of life with, you know?
Absolutely. No, that's great. And you said you're a fan, obviously, of some of the bigger blockbusters, too. Do you have a favorite Steven Spielberg film?
Schindler's List.
Yeah. Great film.
Yeah.
Very different
film
than a Kevin Smith movie, too. So it's good that you have that range.
I do. I mean, I love a raunchy comedy as much as I love an Oscar winner. You know, I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet because my husband is so not one of those who likes to see serious movies.
Okay.
So I have to find a time when I can watch it and he won't be bothered.
So you have to, you have movies like Porky's to look forward to with your husband around Friday night.
with my husband on a Friday night, it's a James Bond film.
Okay.
We do James Bond Fridays.
Wow. Really?
So, yes.
Every Friday. Yes. Look at you. That's
every
great.
Friday we do a James Bond film. We've just recently started it. We're up to, we just did Thunderball this past.
Okay.
Past Friday.
That's
so
nice. You got a lot of movies to work through.
We got a lot to go through, man. We're going to be having a blast.
I'm
laughing at how dated they are though.
Yeah. Some of them are kind of hard to sit through, even though.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just had this conversation recently and I still like the actors, but it's just a different style and a different aesthetic in those movies, you know, than you see now.
A different style, a different aesthetic, a completely different take. It amazes me how people thought Sean Connery was the most handsome man in the world. And right. I'm sitting there going, eh.
You know, he's no Kevin Smith.
He's no Kevin Smith. I would not fall on my knees to this James Bond. He just doesn't do it for me. So,
so we have a couple minutes left. I want to ask you. You told me one of the films you love or shows that you like was Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I used to write promos for the WB Network when I lived in Los Angeles, and I wrote a lot of promos for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. So I had to watch parts of it. I've never seen a full episode. I love finding shows I haven't seen because when you find a show you haven't seen, you have the whole catalog to look forward to watching. Can you recommend that still? Like, does it hold up?
It does hold up in some ways.
Okay.
It's funny because it's a 90s show. And so the fashions are very 90s and the slang is very 90s. But I still think it holds up to all the supernatural shows that are still on today. I mean, there's a reason why it's a classic.
Yeah. And there's
would definitely do it. And do you like musical theater?
Yeah, I do.
Definitely watch Buffy then. And then when you get into season 6, you'll know why I asked you that question.
Okay. I'll watch it with my daughter. She's all about musical theater. And I like it, too. I liked it growing up, but I will do that.
Season 6, episode, I can't remember the episode number, but it's called Once More with Feeling. You gotta see it.
This is kind of coming back to me now. I don't know that I ever saw the episode, but I remember the talk about that episode.
Yes.
We just have about a minute left. Can you name your favorite 80s film and your favorite animated film? That's our question tonight, Lisa.
Favorite animated film would have to be Shrek.
Wow,
favorite 80s film, I'm going to go ahead and say, just because it's you, The Beastmaster. I mean, you had to have in the 80s. Oh, wait, should it be Grease 2? It's one of those two. It's really bad 80s movie. One of the other way, it's either Beastmaster or Grease 2.
Thank you for tying me to either one of those movies. Lisa, thanks so much for your time tonight. And,
you're welcome.
You're doing a great job. Keep up the great job with the news. Love hearing your voice every day. And,
Thank you.
To meet you on the air.
Great to meet you. I'm so glad to be here.
Lisa Hale, we'll have her back soon, and she can tell us more. She's a big Conrad, did you have any idea?
I had no idea.
I didn't know either. We got to have her back and talk more movies and TV with Lisa. Okay, coming up next on Nightlight, my good friend Mike Schmidt, we're going to talk about Quentin Tarantino, and I'll read more of your texts. Keep them coming, folks. What is your favorite animated film? This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.